Save time with the Claresy, Matt and Kimber catch-up and save 35% on your natural gas charges when you switch to Clean Heat. T's and C's apply.
Hi, this is Claresy, Matt and Kimber, Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
This is our Friends of the Show catch-up podcast with our favourite regulars.
Plus the special guests and celebs who hung out with us this week.
After MasterChef on 10 tonight, have you been paying attention? The Right Honourable Tom Gleisner, AO!
Please, thank you. No need to stand.
Too late.
Just a gentle curtsy would be appreciated. Kimber, if that's not asking too much.
Well, any time. I mean, Tom, the Order of Australia, you have achieved so much in your career, but what do you think is the thing that got you over the line to get you that award?
You know, I'm not convinced it's real, I'll be honest, because the form arrived, a letter from the Governor General, but it says I have to send $200 to Nigeria to have the processing fee taken care of. So look, I guess they say it's for services to media, and that's been a few decades now, I guess, doing that. And then I've been busy with some charity over the years behind the scenes, working with both children with cancer and kids with autism. So
wonderful.
I guess that that combination has sort of put it all together.
Sounds like it should have been a knighthood, actually.
Well, you know, I wouldn't say no. I don't know. We don't get. I have to take out New Zealand citizenship. That's
correct.
How you do it.
Yes.
Then you get a knighthood.
Yeah.
Are you technically now allowed to sort of claim a cow from a farm or you know, indeed run a marriage ceremony?
No, but I am allowed to park in a disabled spot.
There you go. So, it was all worth it.
It is. There's upsides, which are very exciting.
Do you get a trophy, a badge, or do you get cupcakes from your workmates?
There is an investiture ceremony later on this year.
Nice.
And I will let you know. No, but I think it's a badge or a tattoo. I think you have the option these days. So looking forward to that.
Lovely.
Well, this might be off topic, but might I say, gee, you're looking well. You look like you're really taking care of yourself.
Is that right? Gee, thank you, Kimber. That's very kind of
you. Sometimes the TV can lie.
I know.
HD can sometimes be unfair.
I mean, we've all seen Grant in you early in the morning. It's not, it's not pretty.
Actually, Grant's here now.
Thank you. thank you. That's very kind of you. I'm loving doing the show. We're back I think it's episode 6 tonight of the new series, and it really is a highlight of my week. I get to wander in and fire these questions out, and I genuinely have no idea what's going to come back from the five contestants. Well, I know what Sam Pang's going to say, the wrong answer, but apart from that, it's a genuine surprise for me.
And you have great talent, don't you, on there? Mix on tonight, Kitty Flanagan, who else we got tonight?
We've got Amanda Keller.
Oh, I love
Gold
Logie
nominee.
Yes, thank you very much.
Actually, I was hearing a story today that they're saying that they think a lot of people won't make it to the Gold Coast.
We were just reading that, yeah. Well, No Koshy, no Sam. No Koshy, no Logies. Adelaide.
Exactly. No, but I guess it is that little degree of difficulty getting there and getting out. I know a few people who literally can't make it because they're recording a show or something and they just can't get in and out in time.
What's happened to our industry when the Logies isn't the go-to festival that it used to be?
Well, I'm sure the Gold Coast will bring in seat fillers, possibly some meter maids. And it's going to be a glamorous, sparkling event nonetheless.
They'll fill it with Instagram stars.
That's the one.
That's the key.
Now, of course, the World Cup's on at the moment. Did you see the Aussies play France on the weekend?
I did. I was watching on Saturday night, as were a lot of us. That was tough. Have this ridiculous video review system, and then it's clearly Optus must be running it because there wasn't a great picture on the screen. It was good. Ed Cavalier will be the one to watch. He watches every match. He's never missed a World Cup.
Yep.
So extremely sleep deprived, but hopefully still attentive Ed will be on the show tonight.
It doesn't matter if he's not attentive, does it? That's the whole thing. Have you been paying attention? You can just say no.
Exactly.
I haven't.
And I'll give you 10 points.
Have you been paying attention tonight on 10 after MasterChef? We'll give you a Big Breakfast tattoo before you leave the studio.
Sensational.
Thanks, Tommy.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
As we say good morning to Dennis, round 1 and round 13. Sydney are officially the Eagles' nemesis. Dennis, g'day.
Yeah, they played well, didn't they, Sydney, the other night? I was in Sydney, as a matter of fact, and watched that game. I went to the ground the first time in a long time I've been to the footy and haven't been working, so it was a good night for Sydney. And as I say, they're a threat for the Premiership, no doubt, because of the way they played.
Well, Dan, Eagles fans all hate the loss, but is this loss really just a blip in a great season? I mean, everyone loses at some stage. The fans don't need to cancel their flights to the GF just yet, do they?
No, I don't think so. I think Darling was a big out. Jack Darling's having a wonderful season, and that forward line changed considerably the other night without him. So I think that's going to be an ongoing problem as long as he's out, as long as they can hold the fort. And, of course, they've got a Thursday night game coming up this week, so a short break for them against Essendon. Now, I think this could be a danger game. Essendon coming off a break themselves with a bye, and I think it's going to be one they need to be very careful with. Then perhaps you look at your flights. If they win that, go ahead.
And Dan, I didn't see Fremantle Carlton, but looking at the Carlton scoreless or goalless certainly in the first half, were Freo that good, that dominant, or are Carlton truly awful?
Well, Carlton were truly awful, but interesting thing, I mean, Sydney didn't kick a goal for two quarters in the game against West Coast and won. Now, this is different, of course, no goals to half-time and Fremantle doing much as they like. So that was a good effort by Fremantle, and suddenly they're up and about and sniffing the finals. I'm not sure that's going to happen because their run home is tough. They'll play five games against teams currently in the top eight, but certainly things have turned around in the last 2 weeks. Lachie Neale is putting together a wonderful, as they say, body of work this season. He's terrific, just so consistent, week in, week out, and he's been one of the linchpins of sticking through the hard times and now coming out the other end. But as you say, Carlton, I'm not sure where they're going. And it's hard to get a quick fix these days in the AFL. I mean, the draft, you only get one guy necessarily in the draft in terms of one of the top five picks or so if you're a bad team, because the next one is in the 20s unless you really trade out a lot of players. They've done that and that hasn't worked for them. So I'm not sure what they've got on the drawing board next.
Yeah, not every club gets a Lachie Weller situation, gets two top fives, Dan. As mate, I've got to say, what do you get anything from yesterday's game of Richmond well and truly in the mix this year? What do you reckon?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think they're now the team to beat, given that the finals are played at the MCG, which they always have been, but Richmond haven't been a factor in recent times, but they play the ground very well. And yesterday, they simply outlasted and outworked Geelong, didn't they? I thought they were really terrific. I keep doubting Richmond. I shouldn't, but I do. I've said before, I think there are no great teams in the competition at the present time, and I don't believe Richmond is one either, but their work ethic is very good. But more importantly, they believe they're a great team. You can see that the way they go about it. No game is ever lost, and I think that's a key. That confidence has to be knocked out of them quickly by a number of teams if they think they can beat them in the finals.
And Dan, I know you love your American football, where they've been using video referees for a long time. We've seen Australia dealt a cruel blow with the VAR during the World Cup. Can you see the AFL going to this kind of a setup?
They're more concerned about staging. And, well, how would you be at the World Cup with staging if that was a problem? Now, I'm not knocking soccer, but when you watch it, my wife's a big ice hockey fan, and she always says during the ice hockey, if only the soccer players were watching this. That is a tough game. And the soccer players, I think they understand now that to get a penalty, this wasn't the case in what you're talking about. I think with the technology, that was the right result. It was just that I thought that technology was supposed to be about clangers, and the ref made his call. Depends what angle you were watching at as well with that. So I'm getting down another path, though. I think Buddy Franklin was brought to Brook over the weekend because they said he staged for a free kick. Well, if they tried that on in Russia, it would be a full-time job, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there'd be no play. And then just wrapping up, we know the Eagles are in good nick, but after the bye for Fremantle, Michael Walters, Brad Hill back in that team, and they get the Lions next up. So it looks pretty good there too.
Oh, yes, I think they've reason to be confident, but still, as I say, the draw is a tough one. They've got to maintain their form. But no, a lot has improved in the last couple of weeks for Fremantle, certainly. Good luck to them.
Okay, rare event, no game at Optus on the weekend, so you'll have to work this weekend, Dan.
That's right. We'll talk to you soon.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Big Mel, good morning and welcome.
Well, good morning to you, Claresy. Hello to you, Kimber Kale, and to you, young Matthew. It's always a pleasure and never a chore to be in here. Live in the studio today. Oh, I've just flown in.
Yeah. I'm so nervous. I'm starstruck.
It is an honour.
Don't wobble. Don't quiver.
I'm a bit quivery around that special suit, actually.
It's, absolutely.
Fancy.
Well, it's a blue-grey suit and, of course, the lovely orange tie that I so enjoy. I'm not a blue tie wearer, apart from in official photos of the Liberal Party. Hot pollies. That's what you should put a list together. Me, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
Who else?
Angela Merkel.
Angela is a sexy woman in her own right.
I like her.
Of course.
Now, Big Mal, look.
Accent.
The new English language test for migrants. Is this dog whistle politics?
Well, no, Kimber, I'm disappointed in you that you would ask that. No, not at all. Immediately when people hear English language test, they assume that it's about to discriminate against migrants or new arrivals and those using English as a second language. What we're intending to do is stamp out poor English. People who refuse to speak properly will be deported if you say, Sticks or yes. Pacifically. You're gone. The strip in the middle of the road, it's a median strip, not a medium strip. If you refuse to use the L in vulnerable, if you say performance, done, you're gone. If you have trouble with THs, if you say other instead of other, yes. like Bill Shorten, then out you go.
Well, Captain Paul will be happy because he wants everyone to say kilometre instead of kilometre.
Kilometre, really?
Yes.
That's right.
Always there, never far away.
That's right.
And that's, kilometre.
That's half the kilometre. Channel 9 cricket commentary team gone right. for Australia. Now, sir, you have a plan to get rid of Bill Shorten?
Is well, that what this is it. Yes, yes, absolutely. It's genius, isn't yeah. it? You know, think about Bill. Little tit Shorten, he'll have to go and live on Manus Island with the other people that can't talk properly.
Yes.
Him and Elmer Fudd, a lot of them. The Human Services Minister, Alan Tudge, he's great. He's come up with this plan. I always say to him, you can't budge the Tudge. I love a rhyming couplet. There's no, he doesn't bludge the Tudge. You don't have a grudge or pack fudge with the Tudge, do you?
Nudge,
any
nudge.
Others? Nudge, nudge, nudge. Good on you. Good. Hey. Well done to you, Clarsey.
Thanks, mate. The big mouth.
No sludge with the Tudge.
Got to say, Optus Sport. I mean, did you intervene with Alan Liu from Optus and have they failed the Australian public with World Cup streaming?
Well, isn't it a disgrace? But you've probably seen on Twitter, I like Twitter and Insta and Snapchat, I said, I've spoken with Optus CEO Alan Liu and he assures me he's giving the World Cup streaming problems his personal attention and he believes it will be fixed. We are responsible for it. Responsible, of course, because we cut funding to SBS
yes.
and they had to flog off the World Cup and I didn't realise it was so popular, so I've got involved. I'm right behind the Socceroos. I mean, head a penalty into the corner flag. kick a goal face into your netball. Go, Socceroos. I'm right behind them
you
all
are,
the way. Yeah.
Yes,
but
yes.
I'm sorting this Optus. They couldn't run a bath, could they? Optus, they're like the Greens. Terrible. They are just shocking. Don't worry, you can slag off a big organisation. They can't sue you for defamation. I know. Optus, yes. I don't think so. Maybe. Got them. Got them on the way through. Now, before I go, I just want to say the Mix 94.5. Where am I rocking today, Tom? Your producer. Westminster?
Yes.
Westminster Abbey. There's a Westminster here in Perth.
Yes.
Yeah. Westminster, really?
Well, it used to be known as Belgo. This part of Belgo has become Westminster.
Well, it's been gentrified.
Mm. Well, that's nice, isn't it? Mm. Have they got an abbey there?
They don't. No? Well, there might be a couple of residents called Abbey, but that's about it.
How far from the city centre?
About 11 kilometres. Yeah.
Well, I've never been there and I never will. So, too far for me, unless it's on the way to the airport. Okay, hey, Barnup.
Big Mel, have a wonderful day running
good
land.
On you.
There he is.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5. Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The man, well, he's first in line with power in West in Victoria, along with the Premier, Daniel Andrews. His name is Eddie McGuire.
G'day, guys.
Hey,
mate.
Buddy.
Good to be with you.
Welcome.
What's happening?
Oh, look, lots of things. I mean, it's been quite a big morning and difficult, too, to be in Melbourne, and a difficult week for everybody in Melbourne and across Australia with the death of Eurydice. And,
yeah.
And you guys have been talking about that a bit on your show this morning. And
yeah, we had the Premier of Victoria on, and last night, of course, down at Princes Park. And for, you know, football fans, particularly over in Perth, remember. But, you know, Carlton used to play down there at Princes yeah. Park. So it's such an epicentre for Melbourne. It's right opposite Melbourne University. Mm. You know, it's an area of culture. There are housing commission flats nearby. So it's got a real melting pot there. But traditionally it's been a young person's place. And to have Eurydice murdered in such a situation by another young person
yes.
Who was facing the murder charges, a 19-year-old, it's heartbreaking. And but one of the things we do have to take from this is, you know, it's one thing having the memorial service last night, and we've had a few of them in recent times and we do all around the country, but we have to start looking a little bit deeper into what is going on, and that is, how do we want to treat women in our society? How do we want to take the next step forward? Now, for me, you know, it's all very well saying we're the sporting capital of the world, or, you know, Perth has got such a wonderful surfing culture and one of the great places on earth to go to, Perth. I love Perth. But if we want to be serious, I reckon, in Australia, we should go the old Titanic line, and that is women and children first. If we set up our country to look after children and women first, put the men in the background a little bit, and before people arc up and go, oh, what about us? We get a pretty good run, the blokes. And we just go back to protecting people and having the respect that's there, not in a condescending way, but in a post-feminist society, if you like. But if you have a situation where you say, right, I want all women to be treated the way, one, I'd be treated, two, the way I want my mother, my sister, my wife to be treated, my daughter, then I think we'll be in a far better shape. And just, you know, get away from this internal angst that a lot of men seem to have these days. You know, you don't have to go out every time and show that you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You don't have to show that you're macho all the time. In fact, the strongest people are the kindest people. You know, so that's, I think there's some real lessons for us to take. And if we can change our behaviour, it'll be a better place.
And Eddie, of course, you're involved with young men who you know, are making their way in the world. And no doubt your football club and many in the AFL, you know, have programs to educate and whatnot. But we kind of do need to start at preschool, don't we?
Oh, we do. But look, it starts in the house.
Yeah.
Everything else does. And look, one of the things that's hard is the mixed messages we send out. You know, we send out to play football. You've got to be tough. You've got to have your head over the ball. Can't take a backward step. You know, you can't show any weakness, that type of stuff, where sometimes not being weak, but showing a vulnerability is not a bad thing.
Yep.
Empathy is the greatest thing, and respect. If you get empathy and respect right in your community, you're halfway home. Now, we have various different cultures coming in these days. We have to bring people along with us. But if we actually have that train of thought, that's what we need to do. But if you go back to my original point, and that is we say, right, we're not going to cop women or children being badly treated, that's not a bad template to start with.
Yeah.
If that's your base position, you're going to go you know, quickly into the right position as fast as we possibly can.
Yeah, so, the line of discussion that got me this week the most was women having to change their behaviour because of men and because of the fear they have. So walking through a park in Perth or in Melbourne at night and wolverining your keys through your fingers because you're scared.
Yeah.
And I've been in Singapore at 11 o'clock at night watching 5-foot women walk home from work by themselves completely safely.
Yeah.
There's something we're not doing right, isn't it?
It's a combination of both. I mean, it's the odd thing. You've got to be careful not to put your head in the lion's mouth and pull its tail and expect something to happen. But at the same time, in a country like Australia, where there's not a whole lot of reasons to be, you know, fighting with each other. I mean, we've got great economy, we've got a great lifestyle, the weather's fantastic, all that type of thing. So what do we have to go through and work out what the problems are. Are there mental health issues? How do we look after people who can't look after themselves? How do we make sure that people are safe? Do we need to change the focus sometimes from you know, being too much of a bleeding heart into let's look after the innocent people first and then look after the second? So there's a lot of debate there. There's no easy answer. If I had that, I'd, you know, we'd all be geniuses.
Oh, we'd click the fingers, wouldn't we?
Yeah. We would, but I think if we actually start to think about it a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
But yeah, the point is right. We need to teach people the roles. You've got to put the roadmap out for people to understand what needs to happen in life. And I think football and sport in general is a fantastic area of doing so. I think one of the greatest things that has happened in our sporting world has been the introduction of women's cricket and women's football in the last couple of years, mainly because it's taught men to realise that these girls aren't little dainty flowers there to be looked at or patronised, but these women are professional, they are strong, that they are tough, they are courageous. And anyone who's had any time with any women will know that how strong and courageous all our mothers have been over the journey of life. And I know in my family, it was my mother who dragged my dad out of Glasgow and said, come on, we're going to Australia to get out of this place. And, you know, my dad was a great, strong, hard man from World War II, all that sort of stuff. But the backbone of our family was always my mum behind the scenes. So when you grow up with those sort of role models around you and you see the respect that your father has for your mother, et cetera, then it becomes a natural type of thing. And that's what we need to get to. And I think that sport is the way, by and large, in the communities to show that, women now are as adept at sport as men, and we know that. They've been carrying our Olympic hopes for years.
Yeah.
But now in football in particular, you know, that sort of last bastion, if you like, of male supremacy, that this is a man's game and don't play like a girl and what are you, a bunch of netballers. Well, you know, I know at Collingwood, because we've got a bunch of netballers, we've got a netball team, and our guys come out and watch them train and realise these are professional sportswomen and sports people at the peak of their powers.
Yeah.
And all that dissipates straight away. So in one fell swoop, we've had sexual diversity come to our club. We've had gender diversity come to our club. We've had all sorts of different people. We've had the women footballers who, by and large, were amateurs until 18 months ago, compared to the women netballers who are superstar athletes and everyone in between. And as a result of that, it's made us a far more complete club. And the same is to be said for, you know, the West Coast Eagles and the Fremantle Dockers. I'm talking about Colin because it's my backyard.
Yep.
But they're the sorts of things we need to get going, that, you know, we are all in it together.
Well, if I can ask you too, while we've got you here, the Eagles. I mean, we're obviously impressing you with our style. How soon till we get the grand final in at the Optus Stadium?
Might be Eagles and Pies.
We won't be getting the grand final there for another 40 odd years. We did that deal recently, so
that's
that one's
right. Yeah.
And I went to the Premier Victorian and said, if you don't get this sorted out, it's going to end up in Perth.
So Eddie, it could be an Eagles Pies grand final this year.
I'm not quite perturbed who the opposition will be, but if you think that there could be a Collingwood grand final, but it could well be. And, who knows? I mean, everyone's playing good football. Having said that, it is June, and we're a long way from home. You've got to get to, 12, probably 13 wins this year before you're even in the eight. So we're a long way off yet. We've got five to go. We've got eight in the bank at the moment. But got Carlton this week, are always dangerous against Collingwood. If ever they're going to, find something, it'll be against us. So we've got a couple of big games coming up. In fact, the next four are Carlton, Essendon, Gold Coast up on the Gold Coast, and then West Coast Eagles at the MCG.
Yeah, Blues will come out hard. They didn't start until halftime last week. So
I hope they do that again.
Eddie McGuire, always a pleasure, mate.
Good on you, guys. Yeah. Great to be with you, and hello to everyone in Perth.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber.
Back on tonight, of course, house rules at 7:30 p.m. on Channel 7. Last night, the WA contestants, Kiara and David, made the emotional return to their renovated house. David and Kiara, join us. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Oh, guys, you made us nervous when we saw your house rules. I mean, you took some pretty huge risks wanting it swanky and sparkly, over the top and six star. It could have been a tragic mess.
Oh, totally.
But you both seem really happy with the result and the other team's interpretations.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was always, those rules were always going to be a risk. But, hey, we're over the top, out there people. So we're just, wanting to see what they could produce. And, yeah, we're obviously stoked with it.
You wouldn't expect anything different from Kiara and myself, so no. What better rules to give them?
Yeah. No, you are. You're both very emotional people, and David, you are emotional, and we love that. Now, I myself have cried many times when the kitchen has been revealed to me after the night before. But what was it about your kitchen that made you blub up? Was it the hob?
Look, it's just somewhere special for Kiara and I to spend time with our kids. Like, we love cooking. Like, Kiara's from an Italian background, so obviously, food's a passion for her and her family and that. And I love being in there. Like, I've cooked in a lot of kitchens when I was younger, so it's just something that I love sharing with my family and being there together. And it's just somewhere that we can actually be now together and teach our kids how to cook and look after themselves.
I think the thing is, though, the biggest thing is what the kitchen that we had to then what we ended up with. That was just like the most emotional part.
Because, 100%.
It was exactly what we wanted in terms of space. So, yeah.
Good.
Yeah. If you're new to the show or you missed last night, here's a bit of David doing his best work. Have a listen to this.
This is just friggin' next level. This is amazing. Yeah. Babe, there's a statement piece.
So emotional, man.
Good on you, buddy. It's the heart of the home, after
it
all.
It is. I love it. Yeah. Hey, you two, when it comes to a renovation reveal, I mean, did you have to do any premeditated work, any practice on your reaction so you just don't do that wow thing? Because otherwise you end up just saying wow every room.
Nah, hell no. With me, what you see is what you get. Like,
yeah. No filter.
Yeah, no filter. Just like, I definitely walked into each room with just like, what is happening here? It was just such an overwhelming, amazing experience.
Yeah, no double takes for us. What you see is what you get the first time.
I heard you say friggin' on the TV, mate. Friggin' excellent, I heard.
Yeah, that was quite a fair bit.
Yes.
Now, guys, the show, we know, it's been filmed a little bit of time ago, but is the clutter back? Because the house wasn't quite big enough for all your stuff and you had a lot of things in it. Have you put the clutter back or is everything still the way it looked?
No. I've been throwing stuff in the bin due to Kiara's disgust, but she's been trying to fight me back and I've just been putting more bags in the bin.
The thing is, the biggest thing that we had, the issue was we didn't have storage in our house.
Yep.
So now, obviously, with the kitchen being a lot bigger, we do have more storage, but we are definitely culling a lot. And the one thing though, I will not cull on, and I don't care what anybody says, the clothes and shoes stay. I just need to find space for them.
Oh, well, continued good luck to both of you. We're going to see the show back on House Rules, of course, 7:30 tonight on 7. We've got some onions for you to cut up there, guys. We'll get you both crying at the same time, and all the best.
Thank you so much, guys.
Appreciate it.
Breakfast with the lot. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast. Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
So we're in Melbourne this week, and the people you bump into when you head to Melbourne, the one and only superstar psychic medium, John Edward.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me. Nice to see you here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, John, I read your book many, many years ago about how you discovered your ability. As time goes on, is it like a muscle you have to exercise? Do you have to use it or you'll it, or do you think this is likely to be with you for life?
No, I think it's something that you do and should work at, like I do, and try to push the envelope to get better and stronger and, you know, kind of, I work out a lot when it comes like to doing this, keeping myself in tune. I feel like I'm an instrument, so like a piano, you need to keep it in tune to be able to play it. That's my job.
Yeah, right.
And John, of course, you know, some people either don't believe and some people do believe in these things, and that's fine. They're entitled to that. And I was telling you outside that I grew up with a Blackpool, Northern English, Lancashire side of the family, very much into going to spiritual churches. And I've seen the kind of comfort and joy that people get when someone walks in and there's like, oh, I can see Harold Darling. He's lovely. He's so happy to see you. And you know, that's one of the joys of what you do, isn't it? Seeing people happy.
It is. I kind of take it to a place of more energy.
Sure.
And if I can explain energy and validate energy and show that there's a survival of consciousness in more of a kind of less emotional surgical approach, that can provide that same level of happy. Because I think there's a fine line between giving people emotion and giving people information.
Yes.
So I try to make sure that information is what I give. Mm. And then to the point where I say sometimes, like, I don't really care how people feel about it. Just pay attention to it and validate it as best as you can. Because I feel like those who are supposed to get the message are going to come through and give the message. So I want that to be heard.
Yeah, yes. A bit of a surprise visit today. We just sort of bumped into John Edward and our producer.
Was it really,
Tom,
though? We've
been planning for 7 months.
We were going to be talking about sex at 3 p.m. That's what's written on the sheet. So, we didn't know.
I got bumped for you, John.
You may have known, but we didn't know.
John Edward mate, I've got a 17-year-old daughter, and so many times over the years I wish I'd been a psychic medium. What is your 11-year-old daughter Olivia doing right now?
My 11-year-old daughter is an actress. She's on a TV show called Better Things. They're getting ready to tape their third season.
Brilliant.
She's doing really, really, really well.
Yeah. Bit of an edgy show, I hear.
It is a little bit of an edgy show. There's some moments in it where I, you know, can I tell you? Like, can I say? Or no?
Yeah.
Can we? What's the time? What's the time in Perth? Yes.
Well, the boss is in the room with us.
5 to 7.
We've got the thumbs
boss
up.
Giving us
got,
the thumbs up.
Which is appropriate.
Up, yeah. I'll try to be as PC as I can.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
But I don't really read the scripts. My wife reads the scripts. And my wife said to me, she was like, I think you really want to read episode one. And
right.
I was like, no. I want to be surprised. I don't want to get taken out of the show. I want to see her in character.
Sure.
And in the first episode, she plays Truth or Dare with some of the friends, and it's the opening scene, and she dares one of her friends to place a Monopoly piece in an anatomically inappropriate way.
Oh,
how'd I do? Well
right?
delivered.
You got the gig. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Wow.
Where do you go from
I'm
there?
Blushing. I'm blushing as I say it.
I've already passed
I'm
go.
So proud.
I need $200.
I think it was the top hat.
John, I'd love to ask you, what's the spook etiquette? Like, do you offer people information when you feel it, or do you wait to be asked?
I think you really have to wait to be asked. And I think it's really, really important that you, I love the question. It's never appropriate to enter someone's vibration without their permission.
Right.
Like, you just don't. It's just not appropriate. And I know that it's like reality shows around the world show attack readings happening. And it's like, oh, I'm so psychic, I just can't stop myself.
Yes.
And I kind of feel like that's like saying, like, I have to, you know, pee, and I'm just going to pee wherever I want.
Right.
it's not, there's a time and place.
Great analogy.
But it's not appropriate. You know, and I say, like, if I was a cosmetic surgeon, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to walk into a supermarket, look at somebody, assess them, and say, let me make you look better, in my opinion, if I do surgery.
Sure.
Right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. It's unethical. And you don't know where somebody is on their journey of grief.
Mm. Yeah.
So for me, it's not appropriate. So I don't ever put myself in that position.
Mm. Mm.
And do you think we have an unhealthy relationship with the other side in Western culture? Are there cultures that do it better than we do, or do we do it fine?
I think that we can do it better, to be honest. I think it's really cool when you look at places like I've traveled and worked in Africa, where honoring your ancestors and the legacy of who you are and where you come from is just intrinsic.
Yes.
And it's respectful and it's a journey. But I think most people have such a fear of death. We put so much time and energy into keeping death away that we don't talk about death.
Yep.
We don't prepare people for death. We don't talk to them when it comes from my background's in healthcare. So I'm like also the person who's like, make sure you have a living will or healthcare proxy and tell your family what you would want in case of those moments, because those moments may come. And people say, well, that's very, very morbid. I go, no, that's very, very real. We're going to face situations. How do I know? Because for 34 years, I sit opposite people who didn't prepare for that, and they're surprised and shocked. So if you always communicate and appreciate and validate people and let them know how you're feeling and what your desires are and what you want, then you just have to grieve the loss of the person, but you know that there's something else, hopefully.
Yeah,
John, and at this point in time, mate, I mean, it would be remiss of us. People are thinking, do you feel a vibe, even though you're waiting, you may wait for an invitation to talk about something, you feel a vibe about anyone in this room in particular?
I don't, but I would tell you, because you guys feel very open, so I would tell you, it happened at a previous station, so I'm not shy.
So disappointed. I wanted to be vibing. I really did.
Mate, you're catching your plane today. Don't talk to John anymore.
Right. You are vibing. That was my license plate number for a while.
Hey, John Edward, coming to Perth, of course. Great. November 4th, Riverside Theatre at the PCEC. Tickets through Ticketek. Great to catch up. And thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys. Very into you.
Generous of John Edward to drop in.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Our good friend Lawrence Mooney is on the line, the Moon Man. G'day, mate. How are you?
Hello, Claire'sy. Hello to you, Kimber and Matt and everyone in Perth. It's just nice to chat to you guys. Often I'm slotted to speak to you, but the Prime Minister pushes in.
Yes, he does.
Pushes me off. He's a bully. And you guys just bump me because I want to speak number one man in the land. Well, but it's nice to...
You know what? You're right, though. We don't get many chances to talk to you. But are you still riding your bike to work? Are you still on the health kick?
Oh, I wouldn't go that far. I occasionally ride a bike, but it's a motorbike. And in Melbourne currently, it is struggling to break through to 10 degrees. So, no, yeah. I got my license back, Kimber, and the bike just went,
great while it lasted.
Me now. Yeah. So, no, occasionally I bike up, but I've got to wear long johns this time of year, so it's cold.
It is cold.
Yeah. peeled long johns.
Sexy.
Like a tomato.
Hey, Loz.
Oh, I love that saggy little ass bit. Oh, yeah.
At least you've got one. Mine was lost about 5 years ago. I don't know where it went.
Mate, you don't want saggy.
With the spare sock in the dryer. Hey, Loz, our bombers are playing the West Coast this weekend.
I know we are going to get pantsed horrifically.
We are, aren't we?
Yeah, tomorrow night.
It is in Perth and we're making the long journey over. The Bombers haven't been doing too well. But as you probably already know, my wife Lulu is a Richmond supporter and last year was a very good year for me because shortly after the game, I've got a little window. She becomes quite amorous after the Tigers win. She goes full bogan, go Tiger! And the testosterone and the estrogen, the whole thing is working very well. And so I skulk off if they're in front in the last quarter. Put on my number 4 Richmond jumper, draw tattoos on my neck, put my little rug on my head and pretend to be Dusty Martin. And then shortly after the coach's interviews, bang, bit of amore. But I'm getting sick of the Tigers.
Get the long johns off and get in there.
Get those long johns off, you sexy beast.
Does she give you the don't argue?
Yeah, that's... More often than I care to think of. Hand on the face, though. It was like, get away, mate.
Hey, Moon Man, we know that you're gracing a stage on a very regular basis, but what about the full stage dad treatment there?
Well, just to finish on the footy, I was recently, I'm sick of the Tigers, Saturday afternoon watching Richmond Geelong. I was quietly barracking for Geelong. I'm over them. And so there was a contentious free, and I thought it should have been 50 metres and just went, 50! And Lou just looked across at me and goes, who are you barracking for? And I went, no one. I just think that's bad for the game. Caught barracking for the wrong team. I've become the full stage dad because my daughter Lily is doing year 12 and there's a drama component in there. And so she's asked me to help her because, I'm classically trained. And I'm just frightened I'm going to be, I'm going to have a cigarette holder, the beret, and just be going, no, Lily. Oh, no, do it again. Life's tight and bright. Teeth, lips, tip of the tongue. Come on. And go full stage dad on her. But she has invited me in, so look out. Look out for this production near you.
Yeah, what are they doing? What's the production?
Well, it's not a production. It's a piece that she's got to actually perform in front of her, judges or teachers. And so she's playing a raven in the Tower of London. So
my goodness.
Full beak, head bobbing, the full... I might even get it to do the Graham Kennedy
yeah.
Crow call.
If the performance doesn't go that well, is that when you say, I had nothing to do with this, I wasn't even at rehearsals?
She's a failure. I'm ashamed to even look at you. Don't touch me, I'll be sick. I'll be in my Peugeot. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And that's pretty much it from me.
Oh, well done, mate.
Well, thanks for coming by.
Yeah, no worries.
It's been
got nothing. Yeah. See you in another 6 months. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix
94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber. We should rename our show The Big Breakfast. I don't know if that's good for your gut at this point in time.
It depends what you eat.
Journalist, producer, presenter, of course, author and so much more, and the author of The Clever Gut Diet, Dr. Michael Mosley joins us this morning. Good morning, Doctor.
Good morning to you. Hi there.
Oh, it's so great to have you here. We're all big fans and we've all seen different docos of yours and read different books. But there are so many diets out there. I mean, you know, you're paleo and keto and Atkins and all of this. The list goes on. Is it more about people finding the right diet and eating habits for them? Or do we just really need to strip it all back?
I think there's something like 50,000 diets out there and most of them are absolute rubbish because they're not based on anything. What I'd say is that my diets are really based on the best science there is. And my current book, The Clever Guts Diet, is endorsed by a couple of Nobel Prize winners and some professors of medicine. So I think there's a decent chance, A, it's decent science, but B, it will actually work for you.
Yes, but did anyone from MasterChef give it the thumbs up?
I don't know. Obviously, that's the ultimate endorsement, so I shall have to wait and see.
Michael, it's a really fascinating book. I loved reading about the incredible ecosystem that exists within our guts. Obviously, you know, it's a difficult life for many people. It's fast and furious. There are many of our listeners now who are about to drop their kids off at school and maybe go and do the week's shopping. What are two or three things that people can do right now and to buy to help improve their gut health?
Sure. I mean, a lot of people, particularly in their sort of 20s and 30s, develop some form of irritable bowel syndrome because they're on this, as you say, high-stress lifestyle. And as people get older, the richness and diversity of their microbiome, those are the microbes that live in your gut, decreases. And so these are things to be aware of. I mean, the one thing you want to do is obviously increase the amount of fiber you're eating. Now, This book has lots of recipes in it, and the recipes are based on what's called a Mediterranean diet. Now, we know that fruit and veggies are good for us, but there are also legumes, which people tend to ignore. These are things like lentils, kidney beans, and stuff like that. And my wife, who's a GP, she's done many of the recipes here, and she has recipes for things like kidney bean cake, chocolate kidney bean cake. And you'd have thought that's going to be really, really horrible. Mm. My kids turned up their nose, but actually they love it. Yeah. It's a way of getting in these really healthy foods in a disguised fashion. Yes. So the problem with vegetables is that they're often really boringly cooked. People have no idea what to do with them. They just kind of boil them to death. So that's the key. The key is to make it tasty, interesting, varied. The other thing I would say is that what you want to do, as well as increasing the fiber, you probably want to cut back on some of the sort of sweet treats, because we know that lots of sugar is bad for the biome. It's bad for the gut. It's bad for your waistline. The average Australian kid consumes, if five-year-olds consume their own weight in sugar every year. So we have a long way to go on that one.
Mm. Yeah, Doctor, you know, obesity is a big issue, especially with our children. I know you're facing a parliamentary committee. I believe that's this morning.
It is, 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. It is such a massive issue, for want of a better word. What about, is the sugar the key to that problem, do you think, or is it general across-the-board foods?
I think it's kind of across the board. The interesting thing, for example, I've just done a show on SBS looking at the science of food. And one of the things we know, it's the combination. There is an ideal ratio of fat to sugar, which is roughly 2 to 1. And you find it across all these foods that we absolutely cannot resist. So, for example, I'm not going to stick my face in and eat a bowl of sugar, nor am I going to drink a pint of cream. But you put them together, freeze it, add some vanilla, and you've got ice cream, and you can really wolf that stuff down. There's actually, as I said, if you think to yourself, as perhaps you're reaching for that thing, if you're thinking, actually, this is a highly manufactured food, it's been created specifically to make me eat this junk, It's going to go down into my gut. It's going to feed the bad bacteria down there, who in turn are going to be sending signals to my brain saying, eat more of this stuff.
Yeah.
You are being endlessly manipulated, both by the manufacturers, but also, ironically enough, by these microbes that live in your gut. And that's kind of the message of the film. The message of the book is that if you can alter your gut biome and it changes very rapidly in response to food, you can get rid of some of these sort of insane cravings which we all tend to have.
Well, this may not be an easy answer, but as you say, if it is rapid, if I were to go on a sugar-free diet or really start making those changes, how quickly will my body respond and start to see changes that are really going to be excellent health benefits for me?
Sure. What I would do, as I said, there are lots of recipes in there because it's about the balance. If you just take one ingredient out, it's unlikely to work because particularly if you just go, I'm never going to eat sugar again, then all you're going to be thinking is, I want that sugar! I want that chocolate! Chocolate, and you're going to go crazy. So you have to actually move. You shift into it, but the changes take place within days. We know, and you know, you can actually have your poo analysed now. And my freezer is full of the stuff. I've told the kids they know what to avoid in my house. So you can see changes which occur unbelievably rapidly in the biome. And when that happens, as I said, the cravings pass. But it's actually. It's much more complicated. Well, it's not much more complicated. It's a bit more complicated than simply cutting the sugar out because you have to add other things in.
Yes.
So the key to success in a diet is not just ripping stuff out because then you're just going to feel deprived. It's the extra stuff you add in which actually makes this thing sustainable and enjoyable.
Michael, one of the great little life hacks, I hope I've got it right, that people could try is we all love our pasta, of course. But if you cook pasta, cool it down and then reheat it, something happens on a chemical level that reduces the sugar. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's called producing resistant starch. And it happens with all forms of starchy things. So not just pasta, but also rice and bread. Now, when you cook it and you cool it, normally what happens is the starch is rapidly broken down in your gut to release sugar into your system. And that sends your blood sugar soaring up and then you get really hungry and then comes crashing down, which is why these, you know, very starchy things tend to make you hungry. What happens when you cook it and you cool it and you reheat it? When you cool it, basically it becomes more like resistant starch, more like fiber. And when you reheat it, oddly enough, we demonstrated on a show I did, Trust Me, I'm a Doctor, it becomes even more resistant. So we know from studies done now with pasta and rice that if you cook it, cool it and reheat it, you absorb half the calories, the others get pooed out. But also you're feeding more of the good bacteria because effectively it's more like fiber. So this is a really clever little trick. And I do it with bread. We don't eat a lot of bread in my house, but we keep it in the freezer. And so that, again, is a process. You put it in the freezer and then in the toaster. And by doing that, you alter the nature. It tastes exactly the same. But actually what's happened is become more like fiber. So, again, it's a nice little
trick for
increasing. And the book has basically got lots of stuff like that in it.
Oh,
it tells you about the kind of science of it, but also shows you some pretty simple things you can do.
Dr. Michael Mosley, just in closing here, we live in a coffee-obsessed society and it's just after quarter past eight. A lot of people would have had three or four already. Any evidence to say that's doing our gut a lot of damage?
No, actually, probably pretty good. So I drink three or four cups. Obviously, I like the science, which tells me that, which it does, that drinking red wine is pretty good for your gut and, you know, a glass or two, not a bottle or two. dark chocolate as well, but coffee, absolutely, because coffee is packed with these things called flavonoids. So coffee obviously comes from a plant. You get it in a really enriched form. All the science suggests that two or three cups a day is beneficial. Up to 10 or more is not so great, but two or three is absolutely fine. Just don't pack it with sugar. Don't add sugar.
Nor a nip of scotch.
Yeah, true.
Certainly not for breakfast.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Dr. Michael Mosley. We'd love to hang, maybe you hang around for about 4 days, but we're out of time. It's wonderful to chat and all the best.
Thanks.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
Mum is the word.
The word is the word that you heard.
Welcome back, Janelle. How are you?
I'm very well. Of course I'm very well, as I hope you guys are.
So good to see you again.
Thanks. Now, my five-year-old, her name is Maeve, and she does not look like me follicularly.
Right.
Okay, so her hair is nothing like mine because I'm half Asian, so I've got dark, very dead straight hair. My daughter, my five-year-old, looks like Dustin out of Stranger Things. Like, she's got that really tight curly hair.
Without the cap, yeah.
Without the cap, yeah. The really tight curly hair, quite fair. And I can predict the weather based on the tightness of her curl.
Oh, wow. Okay, but frizzy.
It can be frizzy. Yep. And what that means is it's very, very hard to brush.
Okay. Mm.
And parents and grandparents and step-parents of daughters everywhere will hear what I'm saying when I say it is a nightmare brushing girls' hair in the morning. Okay. Even girls with easy hair, it's hard because they cry, they pull, they whinge. I did consider recording me brushing Maeve's hair in the morning so you could really appreciate how awful it is to do. But then I thought if I play this, you're going to call Child Protective Services on me because it is hysterical.
Especially if you've got sleeping knots. If there's knots in there, it's hard work.
Absolutely. Mm. Now, there is a thing called a tangle brush, which is a brush that's shaped like a kidney almost. Okay. And it's quite short bristled. And that worked for a time, but no more. But I have found the brush.
Oh,
I found it. I found the brush. It was on the internet. It's called a tease brush, and it works. And it's a long handle brush, and it's quite almost like a spanking paddle shape.
I was going to say that looks like a paddle.
It's with various shaped bristles on the brush.
Okay.
And this one is a dream.
This is the Wonder Brush. You've been looking for it.
It is Wonder Brush. I found it on eBay. It's called a tease brush, and it is magic. And I've used the anti tangle spray and everything. It didn't work on my kid, but this one works. She'll sit there and have her hair brushed like it's, you know, 100 lashes, not lashes, 100 strokes to grow your hair. You know,
the
oldies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Kearney gets a crack.
Have you bought a couple just to be?
I bought six.
Oh, but was it six for the price of one and some steak knives?
It was eBay.
Yeah.
But all I think of is I just hope my kid never gets nits.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire'sy, Matt and Kimber.
Well, it's well and truly underway. The FIFA World Cup, the game's the most beautiful man. Ronaldo scoring for Portugal last night.
He did.
It's well and truly on for young
and old.
Didn't
mess up his hair, though.
No, certainly not. And a great celebration. But Santo Sam and Ed's Cup Fever is back for the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. And you can watch it weekly on ABC iView and listen to them on Apple Podcasts, the ABC listening app, and of course, wherever you get your podcasts. And joining us this morning on the show, here he is coming in right now. It is Edward Robert Cavalli.
My full name. How exciting.
How are you, mate?
Thank you so much. You know, well, I'm tired because, of course, I do the Santo Sam and Ed Total Football or Cup Fever podcast for the ABC.
Yep.
So Santo Sam and I obviously have been doing stuff for the World Cup since 2010. And people always ask, well, why do you get to talk about the World Cup? So my credentials, I was a terrible player. But when I did once swap a pair of tracksuit pants with Tim Cahill's brother.
Ah,
and
wow.
So, yeah, that's good. Thanks so much. Yeah. And I have seen every game of every World Cup since 1990.
Football royalty, you are.
Okay. Well, no, I'm an enthusiastic amateur, but this is my Christmas. All of my things put into one. The World Cup is for me. And I love it so, so much. And I'm so excited for Australia to play Denmark because we have to win this game. We saw that everyone, you know, you would have seen the people saying that we did pretty well against France. We had them. We had them. We should have got a draw against France. Because the thing to remember about the French team is that they all hate each other.
Mm.
They are not a team in any sense. They are 23 young people who are forced to live together and hope that a relationship forms. They're like the cast of Love Island, but with vaguely less herpes. So that was our big chance. A big chance missed, unfortunately.
Yeah, yes. That's also how our radio team works.
Too. Oh, is it really?
Like, yeah. Just
only we're not a billion-dollar team.
No, that was, yes, exactly.
I mean, look, even outside of the football world, you know, Denmark is quite, it's an enviable place. People always say they get their education right. They get their stuff right. You know, so are they going to have something on us because, they're just a well-functioning society?
Well, you bring up an interesting point, which is that as countries go, often their football teams follow. So the Danes are organised. Mm. The Danes are sort of vaguely placid, but you know underneath that they're pretty hardcore.
Right.
But that's what they are. They're structured and they've got one good player. Much like the country itself, they have one good player, which is Princess Mary.
Yeah.
They
have She's from Tassie.
She's from Tassie.
Yeah.
They have this guy called Christian Eriksen, who's very, very good. But you're right. We should be able to beat them.
Right. Mm. Oh, hang on. He's not a striker, is he?
No, well, he's worse
attacking
than that.
Midfielder.
Yeah, he's attacking midfielder, which is worse.
And he sets him up,
And, of course, Ed, I apparently walked back into the studio a bit doe-eyed the other morning. morning because I said I've made a new friend.
I thought he might have oversold your friendship. Just
no, we're best mates. What are you talking about? We're going to Mallorca together.
We are. We bonded over
together.
The World Cup. We bonded over World Cup podcasts, and that's what the World Cup does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it brings people together.
It does.
Exactly.
People
right.
with little lacking sleep.
Yeah, oh, man.
Together.
How good is it? Because I've got a 9-month-old baby as well. Yeah. And so I said to my wife, look, just so you know, I probably won't be sleeping for the next month. And she looked at me and she said, you mean like I haven't been for the last 9 months? I was like, we all got our cross to bear, love. There's no need to be like that.
Well, you've already dropped Tim Cahill's brother's name, but what about Tim Cahill himself? Will he get any minutes in this World Cup?
Yeah, Tim's going to see some game time today for sure. In the France game, when we tried to sort of go for a little bit more, we brought on a guy, Tommy Juric, who's a good player and he's sort of a bit more mobile. Yeah. But the idea this time will be to try and get crosses into the box, even though the Danes are quite tall and blonde and beautiful, which is whatevs. But Timmy is renowned for that type of thing. And his sort of presence, you have to sort of look after him. If he's standing there, someone's got to watch him. So I think he probably will see more game time today.
It's all that experience.
And when you called Tim and had a chat, how was he feeling? Is he...
You know, I did speak to Tim. We spoke to Tim before and I said to him, how embarrassing is this? Timmy, we actually know each other. I once swapped a pair of tracksuit pants with your brother. Silence.
Ah. Oh, by the way.
Anyway, great to catch up.
By the way, Kimber Cahill, thank you very much.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, namesake.
No, nothing. No
apparently we are, but it's not believable enough. You know when my dad goes, I can't quite remember. It was something like your uncle's brother's, you know, it was that sort of rubbish. So I don't trust anyone.
You know, you need to do that show. Where did you come from?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I say that every morning to her. Who do you think you are?
Where's my coffee? Yeah. Hey, thanks, Ed. All the best, mate.
Pleasure.
Yeah, Ed Cavalier joining us on the show this morning. He's a bit excited about the World Cup. Santo, Sam and Ed's Cup Fever on ABC iView now and via your podcast app, however you get your potties.
The Big Breakfast with Claire Z, Matt and Kimber.
He was cooking and you know, judging in the Dandenong Rangers last night. Now he's in Perth. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only George Kalambaras. G'day, mate. Good to see you.
Jeez, what an introduction. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Just a quick drum sting.
Thank you.
Now, George, look, I'm quite aware that most people plan their weekly shop and their weekly meals, and a lot of people right now will know what they're having for dinner tonight. Mm. I don't cook till I'm hungry, which I know is a terrible move. Because then it means I'm unplanned, and it also means I'm guilty of eating cheese and crackers while I'm cooking because I've left it too late.
Yeah,
you know,
gotcha.
I wait till I'm hungry.
Gotcha.
Claire here likes to partake in some Dorito chips sometimes while cooking. Okay. Have you got something you snack on while you're preparing meals?
Look, to be quite honest, I don't really do much cooking at home. I'm very lucky. Now, Natalie does all that. And I just, you know, but in saying that, it's very interesting because, you know, back in all my restaurants, we're pretty strict with the diet of our staff. They're, like, I need them to eat and eat right, not just binge eat. But there's when I'm doing a service, I like to do it hungry because what it does is it makes me want to taste everything with a lot more detail to check seasoning, to check consistency, you know, check the standard that we're looking for. But yeah, look, you know, it's don't leave it till you're hungry.
No.
I've been doing it my whole life. Yeah. It's terrible.
Do you know, like I do this thing, like now I'm thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. Do you know?
Yeah, I do that all the time. Yeah.
I don't. It's awful.
Like it's just... I just want to know what I'm going to eat next.
Yeah. I do that as I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. I'm thinking, geez, I'm looking forward to breakfast. What am I going to have?
That's why we need to bring out edible doonas.
Yeah. Okay.
You can imagine that. You know, you just wake up in the middle of the night, have a little munch, go back to sleep.
That can it be made of Doritos.
There's not enough eating in bed, is there?
Yeah.
More of it. Of course, our listeners can't see the passion, which, you know, George, when he talks about food, and we know you're passionate and you're a great motivator on the show. But I didn't realise that you were also being used for other motivational speaking. And I did my research and found a speech that you gave to the Greek in the last World Cup, the Greek national football team.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And George was interviewed about and asked about that experience.
What did you say to the team?
I said, well done, I'm proud of you.
And what did they say to you, George?
Brings back memories.
English, so I said, he's dead, dog.
What does that mean?
Start cooking. Cook 1 hour.
Can I tell you a quick story?
Please
that was South Africa World Cup.
Oh, right. Was it? Okay.
I was there for it. We got a phone call from SBS for me to go on the show. Sorry, can't contractually. I'm contracted to 10.
Yeah, sure.
24 hours later, my lawyer, who looks after me, gets a phone call going from Channel 10. We're so upset. George has gone on SBS. It's unacceptable. He's breached his contract. And he's going to me, it's just not possible. I'm at the World Cup with him. We're all here. Yeah. He hasn't done any TV. They hadn't actually gone in and had a look at what it was.
Oh, really?
And that was Rob Sitch.
Yeah, Rob Sitch. Yes. Yeah.
And it was so funny. It was so funny.
And a great compliment to Rob Sitch right there.
He's a legend. He's an absolute legend.
And, okay, if I look up a dictionary online today, is the word envy, does it come up with photos of your mates at the World Cup? Be honest.
I'm so envious.
Yeah.
Like they're there. They're watching all the games, having a great time. It is a wonderful whoever hasn't done a World Cup, if you can one day, do it. Because it's not just about the game. It's about this sort of wonderful sort of camaraderie between countries, nations. Yeah. Obviously, once the game kicks off, everyone's, you know, fighting for their country, passionate. Mm. But then after that, there's this wonderful thing going on, you know, outside the grounds. People are just connecting. You know, it's beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, the Olympics are like that. Yeah. They were lucky enough to go to Sydney. Yeah. It's like this international festival, isn't it?
It's awesome. You know, we live in a day and age with so much doom and gloom.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. It's a beautiful thing and we should embrace that.
Why didn't you write that into your contract?
Yeah.
Be like, I have to be at the World Cup.
You know what? I need you. I need you.
I'll be part of your team. Can you let me know when I'm going to be hungry?
Yeah. I'll do that for you. You won't need to because I'll just feed you.
Yeah.
Well, you can you know, write up the contract for the new edible donor.
Yeah, quick sign. Just sign the contract before anyone finds out I'm vegetarian and ruins his day.
This'll fill you up. Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber.
The juice.
Oh, do tell.
Let's hear it. Give me the details.
Special edition today with MasterChef's George Colombaris here.
Just hang out with us and talk entertainment, George. Now, we are closer to the honey badger finding love. I know you've all been thinking you want the honey badger to find
the honey
success.
Badger?
You know the honey badger, George?
I don't know.
The Nick bloke Cummins on the ads from the Wallabies.
That'll be great in your package. And,
yes.
Well, he's a real wag.
Of course. Yes.
He's going to be the Bachelor on Channel 10. It's coming, and 10 will be marketing this one quite heavily, I would imagine. Nick Cummins from the Wallabies is searching for his leading lady, and 10 have already been teasing us with things to come with these very short clips of the badger showing his fun side, let's say.
This year, The Bachelor is full of surprises.
Ladies, I'm looking for love when I find my pants.
He often has them off.
There's a series of those. I mean, there's this other one where they've recreated the rose petal scene from American Beauty.
Oh, yes.
Mm. And he's just laying there naked and they've got a leaf blower disturbing the petals from his privates.
This year's Bachelor is a real beauty.
Go easy, mate. I'm in my birthday suit here.
Well, I'll tell you what, American Beauty, if you like muscles, he's got plenty of those.
Oh, doesn't he?
Honey Badger.
Yes, The Bachelor will be coming soon. Now, guys, she's the daughter of Elvis, so she should have been set for life, but recent reports suggest that Lisa Marie Presley has squandered almost all of her share from Elvis's $135 million fortune.
Wow.
It's a lot of money and it's gone. But apparently Lisa Marie paid a financial management company to manage her money and they made a few bad choices and a few dodgy investments, but then told her that everything was fine. So they weren't quite honest about it. And then they've sort of turned around and she's down to about 19 grand.
I go to that account.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same accountant.
Same accountant. Yeah.
Well, now there's a lawsuit because she's saying, I'm pretty sure you mismanaged my money. And they're going, don't know what you're talking about. But they were getting paid about $1 million a year to look after her money.
Surely the money keeps rolling in. Were you an Elvis fan as a kid?
Yeah. Look, you know, mum loved Elvis.
Yeah.
So, you know, and still to this day, you'll sometimes go around and she'll be playing it. But yeah, I just can't get over that. That is just ridiculous.
Well, maybe Priscilla's got all the fortune wrapped up in Graceland, I would imagine.
Yeah. It's sort of the same way.
Has anyone checked the mattress?
No. I have a feeling that Lisa Marie may have invested in a crazy idea for an edible donor. Maybe that's where the money went.
There you go. We also made as we speak.
We manage the money the same way as the Australian government manages our economy. It's kind of like we don't know that we've got a budget issue until we're already a bunch of money in the hole. Wait till later.
This is what she does, George. She takes seemingly banal entertainment news into political fire.
It's funny, though. You think of Elvis, you think of watching those movies on a Saturday, really. Don't you?
Do you know what, but as someone who hasn't been to Perth in about 2 years, what I have noticed is there's so much stuff being built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a crane city, isn't it?
Like there's that's positive, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
there's I stayed at the Westin last night.
Yep.
What a beautiful hotel. It's only 6 weeks old.
It's brilliant. Yeah.
There's just stuff happening, some really cool restaurants.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's coming along.
Fantastic. It's all restaurants. There's nowhere else to go in this place. All we do is eat. We're all about it now.
Yeah,
we've
but
worked
you've
got
to eat before you're starving.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you're
no snacks.
And that's your daily juice.
Very good. Hey, George, great to catch up, mate.
Thank you so much, guys.
It was great seeing the guys cooking last night in the Dandenong Range. It's a beautiful part of Australia for the Fireys.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful place. But yeah, thank you so much. And you know what? Thank you to all of Perth that watch the show because it's awesome.
Everything Perth for Brekkie. Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Clancy, Matt and Kimber.
The not-for-profit group Short Back and Sidewalks, which is a brilliant initiative when you think about the things that we would expect our homeless people to want or need or get some kind of joy in life from.
And a little bit of dignity and respect.
A haircut.
Yeah.
As simple as that.
Yeah.
But a decent haircut amongst friends or people who will talk to them or whatever. And this group, who are known as Short Back and Sidewalks, have a fundraising exhibition because they want to expand things that they do for the community, which I think is brilliant. And it's on this coming Sunday. We're going to find out more about what's going on between 4 and 8 p.m. And there'll be all kinds of guests rolling up and the rest of it. And from the board of directors at Short Back and Sidewalks and someone who's taken care of some haircuts. So we've got Michaela and Kieran joining us. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Guys, the charity that you're a part of, Short Back and Sidewalks, it's a really important charity. We've spoken about this sort of thing before and trying to help the homeless community. What exactly are you guys doing when you're out and about on the streets?
So the charity is set up to help people who are experiencing homelessness or disadvantage and provide the luxury of having a haircut that so many of us take for granted. We actually coordinate events, so we'll go to a lot of the homeless accommodation services and the drop-in centres, and we take a bunch of volunteer barbers, which Kieran is one of them, and they come along and they provide haircuts free of charge and free of judgment to anybody that wants a haircut.
Brilliant.
On the day.
Yeah.
And we, of course, we all know the wonderful feeling of getting your hair done and you get a little bit of pampering and you get a bit of conversation, and we do take that for granted. But if you're someone who is feeling very isolated and sort of, you know, the world doesn't seem to want to know you, I can imagine for you, Kieran, you must see some, you know, smiling faces who are loving the fact that they're being looked after, but also, you know, connecting with another human being.
Oh, definitely. It's just like a huge boost in confidence for the individual, you know.
Yeah.
Like, say, we take it for granted, and I do it every day, all day.
Yeah.
But for them, it's like they might not get it done for, like, months on end, I guess.
Sure, yes.
I think somebody said, like, 5 years once when we cut their hair.
Yeah.
And had a haircut. And they're all the same
brilliant.
Reaction. They're all over the moon.
Yeah.
And especially the ladies as well, for the hairdressers who do it as well.
Oh, sure.
They love it.
Michaela, I'm going to ask you 7 questions because I grew up watching way too much British TV, and I just want to hear your accent. But an event like this and, you know, the fundraising exhibition takes a lot of work to put it together, doesn't it? A lot
it
of supporters.
Does. Yes, yes, very much so. It's been a bit of a whirlwind because it was something that we organised with quite a short time frame.
Right.
So some of the funds that we were trying to raise were to help us get to Garma Festival.
Yep.
But really what it's about is just trying to make the charity sustainable for the next few years because it takes a lot to run the charity. We've obviously got insurance that we need to pay for the barbers. You know, we have equipment that we need to buy because our barbers are volunteering their time and, you know, that's just enough. We need to be able to buy products or have products donated and, you know, buy chairs that are suitable. So we're making sure we take care of our barbers' backs.
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, 3 hours cutting on just a normal stool and you're punched over.
Yeah, you don't want it to be called bad back and sidewalks.
No, we definitely don't.
No.
So the fundraising event, what can people expect? I mean, we really want to get as many people down there to support. So what sort of things will be happening on the day?
So the fundraising event is from 4 till 8 at Bivouac. And for the first hour with your ticket, you get free alcohol and free food.
I mean.
Then, sorry. So it'll be a great chance to see some of the work that our barbers do.
Yep.
So there's about 20 pictures that are on exhibition. We've also got a projector where we're going to project a lot of the snaps that we've taken over the years, and just to see somebody's smiling face after a haircut is just amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as Kimber said, you know, we've spoken to people who wash the clothes of the homeless and
Orange
Guy
Laundry,
it's just wonderful and good on you both for doing that and giving some dignity and respect to people who really need it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Should be a big day. Of course, when you throw in auctions and raffles and the rest of it, that's all about fundraising, but it can be a lot of fun for people to be around as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, and Matt did say that about the drinks. But we want you. You don't want a bad back. But we've got to look after the elbows as well.
Yes. Yeah.
We want people to slip your money and not their desk. Guys, all the best and congratulations on the great work.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast with Claire-Z, Matt and Kimber. Everything Perth for Brekkie.
Shut up. The boy is on the radio.
He's an All-Australian, the best wingman in AFL, and he's our man inside the West Coast Eagles. Let's talk footy with Andrew Gaff on Mix 94.5's Big Breakfast.
Gaffy, welcome, mate. We have to say, apart from welcome, what happened, buddy?
Yeah, hey, guys. Yeah, very disappointing. No shying away from what happened. Our start wasn't good enough and missed a lot of shots on goal, but it was more than that. They were too quick, obviously, early on, and we missed some targets and missed a lot of tackles as well throughout the game. So we pegged it back a bit at the end and saved a bit of face, but we've just one of those days where a lot of things went wrong, but we've got to be better than that. We've got to get back to training and work hard and make amends for Adelaide next week. Mm. So there's obviously going to be, I think all of us had moments that will probably keep us up at night for the next few nights, which will be tough over the weekend. But
yeah,
we've got to attack Monday, wanting to improve and hopefully get better.
Yeah, for those who missed it was last night at Optus, 51,000 plus there, which is a record for so many big crowds in a row for the Eagles. But 8-4-1-6 against Essendon, and eventually a 28-point loss last night at Optus.
And not a nice morning for you either. You come in off the back of that loss, and then my dog McGruff just barked at you when he came in the studio. Yeah. But how much of it is a mental game when you're out there and you have a bad start? Do you think it's really hard to pull it back for the rest of the game when you sort of it gets to you mentally early on?
No, there's obviously a big mental side to football, and it depends how big the margin is, I suppose.
Mm.
And
mm.
Once I sort of got out to 40, almost 50 points, you know, it's going to be tough from there. Oh, but yeah. Anything sort of before that, you feel it's winnable, and we've played so well at home this year, and we hope that's going to obviously get back to our winning ways at home for the rest of the season. But we've got to be better at assessing what's going on and stopping teams might kick two or three against us, but it's the way to stop teams kicking six or seven against us in a row, which they did in that first and second quarter. And we feel we've been pretty good at that for most of the year. And yesterday was just a night where things didn't go well, and us as individuals didn't work together as a collective.
And excuse me. And Gaffy, for you personally, you know, the word on the street is that you've been offered a 6-year contract. And is that true? And have you signed? Will you sign? Can you give us a sign?
Yeah, I briefly sort of saw the article yesterday, but didn't try to read that stuff. I haven't sort of heard too much about that, but I'm focused on playing each week, and I love playing each week with the guys. And when that decision comes,
you'll let us know first, right?
Yeah, definitely. Of course.
You'll call us before you call mum.
Of course.
Yeah,
of
right.
Course. Well, of course, I'm sure many people hope it's true, because obviously you're very highly regarded within the club and here in Perth and for us here at Mix. So we hope you do stay on.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's obviously, it's been a great start to the year, and we're all focused on turning around what happened last night, and us as individuals, and we know we need to get better.
Yeah, and it goes both ways, Gaffy. Kimber's looking at a 6-year contract this year, and as soon as she signs, she'll call you first before mum.
That's good. Hopefully.
Okay, mate, so against Sydney, 7:15, and then 6:16 against the Bombers. It's not just Darling and Kennedy. Something's breaking down up forward, isn't it? Not enough goals, too many points.
Yeah, and as a midfield group, last week we felt like we almost got the better of Sydney, and we're able to sort of lock the ball in the forward half, but converting was something that was an issue, and that goes with, you've got guys like Waterman who's played 10 games, Rioli who's played 10 games, Flynn Ryan's played 4 or 5, and they're three, half of the guys in the forward line. So it takes weeks and it takes months to get that connection with especially the new guys. And when you got, we've also got Lacroix and Cripps and those guys that have played a lot of footy. So those guys, I'm sure, are doing a lot of work with those younger guys, and we need to turn it around quickly. And I don't think conversion wasn't the issue last night. I think it was probably one of the big issues against Sydney the week before. But we got touched up in a lot of areas last night, and it's something we've got to turn around heading into Adelaide this week, who Have also got a couple injuries to their key players, as everyone knows, this year, and we need to make amends.
And sometimes it's just one of those nights, right? It happens in life, and I'm sure it happens in professional sport, and it happened for Scotty Lysette. Oh,
it's been so good all year, too, hasn't it?
Have we got a bit of audio there?
Yeah, have a listen to this.
Lands in the hands of Shuey, gives it the gap, 45 out. Oh, just touched beautifully. Oh, no, it's going to bounce. Oh, Lysette has missed it.
Oh, Scott Lysette is the miss of the year.
He tried to kick it off the ground, and he has missed the ball completely.
Not exactly World Cup form.
The fresh air.
His style was fantastic. When you watch it back in slow-mo, the grace of his legs, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, just a shame it didn't make contact.
They'll look at that in the video review this week.
With a high boot. It's just one of those. Oh, that probably summed up the night, really.
Yeah.
They had a few goals that bounced at right angles and went through. And
It's all right. You've got other games to fix it up.
Don't
worry.
Life goes on.
Don't let it get to you. Life goes on.
I mean, you're experienced player now, Gaffy. We can see your disappointment and your frustration already today. So we're just glad you came and you were honest about what's going on.
No, I've just been, obviously, we had 10 in a row.
You can't
always win every week.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
I think we're third now and in a bit of a log jam with all the other teams. There's so many quality teams. Mm. There's six or seven, eight quality teams at the moment this year. So we sort of, last 2 weeks, we've come back to the pack a bit, but hopefully we get JK back this next week, hopefully, and hopefully JD in a couple of weeks. But life goes on, and we've got to figure out how to get better and how to get back on the winners list next week against Adelaide.
Yeah, beat Adelaide, and then the two top teams will battle it out, so it gives you a chance to get back.
That's right.
Top
spot.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, Andrew Gaff, always good to catch up, buddy. All the best.
Thanks, guys.
Switch to Clean Heat for homegrown service. It's easy. Clean Heat. Switch. Save. Smile.
The Big Breakfast with Claresy, Matt and Kimber. Weekday mornings from 6 on Mix 94.5.